All right, you guys, this is week four of the conversation series. This has been so much fun.
Yeah.
And this week we have something extra special because you guys, Stella and Riandi, are this week's host for our conversation series. So I don't know if I'm excited or nervous. I think I'm
nervous.
I'm more nervous.
Definitely nervous.
Because you guys are hosting and we're just having a chat here together. So Riandi, you are one of our staff, our beloved staff people. You just really make things happen around the church. And man, we're so grateful for you. And those that maybe remember Stella from week one, she's also another one of our staff people.
Yeah, I'm excited to be in this hot seat because now I get to ask Pastor Chris and Carrie the questions. So yeah,
don't be
excited.
Too tough, okay?
Okay.
Is it easier where you're sitting now than where you were sitting before?
I think so. Because now, you know, it's not everything jumbled on my mind. Now I get to ask the questions.
My mind is jumbled.
Okay, so I'll hit with the surprise question for you guys first. So, Pastor Carrie, like, we know that you're a great cook. Like, we always enjoy, like, having meals at your house. Which food item actually you prefer the most? Like, sweet or savory items?
Definitely savory.
Savory. Like, what is your favorite, like, in terms of
I love savory? Mexican food. Anything Mexican. Burritos, tacos.
Yeah, I love your tacos, though. Like, it's the best. And
this one is for Pastor Chris. I know you have great taste in music. So imagine you're going to a karaoke. What's your go-to karaoke song?
If I don't know what my go-to song would be, but if I'm doing karaoke, it's Bon Jovi.
Bon Jovi.
I would hit the Bon Jovi section and just go through all of it.
What would be your song? Living on a Prayer.
It's My Life.
Living on a Prayer, It's My Life.
Yeah, you're just Living on a Prayer for opening one.
Wanted Dead or Alive. What's You Give Love a Bad Name? You can't go wrong with Bon Jovi. That's my belief.
We should plan a karaoke night.
We should.
That would be fun.
And this can be the star of like the Bon Jovi
song. Right now
we need
Mexican food and Bon Jovi karaoke. That's what we need.
That is nice. Okay, Pastor Carrie, like if you could bring back like one fashion trend, like what would it be?
Oh my gosh. Yeah,
anything that you love that you can think of?
I don't really feel like I'm really that great with fashion. Maybe, I don't know, the 80s was fun.
Yeah, like, it's really fun though.
All of the neon colors and I love jelly shoes, which they are back actually. Like
they
loved my jelly shoes when I was in elementary school. So probably like the 80s would.
Yeah. I love jelly shoes though. Like you can get wet. Like everything is like so like comfortable and like flexible. Like
everything jelly was cool. I loved the jelly bracelets.
Oh yeah.
I don't know if I should confess that. I had them where you would loop two together. Yeah. You know.
I have no idea what jelly shoes are. All right, PC. If you could be in any movie universe, like what would that movie be, and what character would you play?
Oh gosh, in a movie universe. I this sort of fits with what Kelwyn said last week. I love the Rocky movies, but I don't want to get beat up. So.
Are they going to be the villain that challenged Rocky?
I wouldn't challenge Rocky, but I don't know who I would want to be, but I love the Rocky movies, you know.
But that is cool though, like being in the like boxing area.
Yeah, like, it's so inspirational. Yeah. And
hey, you could be his coach, maybe.
Oh, that's
be the coach.
Coaching hero.
The coach was very, very old though, so I don't want that part either. But maybe I'd just be another boxer or something, like Rocky's friend. That's what I would want to be.
Nice.
Okay, that is great though. Like, you know, I really like this type of conversation series because it's like very relaxing and, you know, people could just like open up. So like, either one of you, like who really came up with this idea and like, what is like the idea behind conversations?
You know, we really plan and do a lot of praying and preparation. Like usually I pray in advance and have a year plan of where we're gonna go, what we're going to do. Like I even know what the next series coming up after this is. But this more came about even during this time of lockdown and being at home. And I thought, wow, what's something new we could do and hear from other people? Because I believe that stories are powerful and everyone in our church has a story. And as we've seen every week, there's something every week that comes out that's just powerful. I mean, last week there were some things that came out that I feel like anyone listening could hear that and think, well, I mean, last week you'd hear, if I pray to God, he answers me. Yeah. even if I don't know him yet. And every week there have been things like that. And even something I just read recently that John Maxwell said, he said, everyone that I meet has something to teach me. And I believe that. And if we stay teachable, everyone we meet has something to say. They have an experience. They have a testimony. And, it, you know, Jesus told us, go and be my witnesses. So we've been able to hear what people have witnessed about Jesus in their life. So for me, that's what this series is about. And it's just fun.
True. That is
changing
very fun.
Up, just talking, you know, being a little bit more relaxed.
Yeah, it's good. Especially that's why I also love life groups, you know. That's where all of the conversations are. You hear other people's stories.
Yeah.
And that's really
nice. This has been sort of like bringing life group to Sunday in a way, you know.
That's really good. You have been doing church ministry for quite a while, right? But especially in this era of digital age, you know, doing things even online for our church right now. Like, what are your thoughts on like church ministry in this digital age?
It's I think it's more difficult right now. Because people feel disconnected. I mean, we have all the technology to stay connected, to stay together. I mean, it can be a challenge for people depending on the availability of Wi-Fi in their area or their budget for Wi-Fi. I mean, everyone's Wi-Fi budget is higher. We've been frustrated for years with our internet.
I know, the telco.
Yeah, I finally just changed it.
You know?
And
nice.
But if it's you want to be connected and some people can't, or I mean, imagine you wait for Sunday and you get on, and then like we had a Sunday 2 weeks ago that our Wi-Fi service went out on Sunday while we're watching church. So I think it's difficult because people are disconnected; they're not seeing each other. So the thing we need to pay attention to there is that just people need to be connected. People need each other. I think it's been a good reminder of how much we need each other and to be praying for each other. You know, sometimes, you know, Stella, I know at least you and I are sort of a little bit more introverted, right? And you could have these feelings like, well, if I was in my house forever, it wouldn't matter. Now we've been tested on that.
True.
It does matter because we need people. Even going back to Genesis, when Adam was created, and I know it's a little different with like a relationship, but God said, hey, it's not good that man is alone because we need fellowship. We need one another. So the difficult thing now is this seems to be separating and isolating people.
But you know, the awesome thing that, you know, we were talking about this morning was just this pandemic happening this year in the year 2020, where we actually have internet and we have, you know, even though it's not always stable here where we live, but I mean, we have that because without that, like, I don't even know how we would be having church at all right now. So,
10 or 20 years ago, this would be a whole different story.
Yeah.
I even heard like a story, like I don't remember where it from, but it said like, you know, God's already planned his steps. Like, you know, it happened in 2020 when God already invented like technology, like you have Zoom. Yeah. So I think like there's always a plan, like even before everything, because like he knows, you know, what will happen. And then like he's kind of like ordered it in the right way and in the right timing. I really love that, like, you know, when they say like,
It's so encouraging because God wasn't surprised.
True, yes.
He wasn't. Nothing and so surprising. We can be thankful. Even in this time, instead of being discouraged or frustrated, wow, I'm separated, I can't see people, but instead, like, thank God we have internet. Thank God we have cameras and technology. Thank God for YouTube, you know? Thank God for all of these things where, wow, otherwise we'd just be Diruma Aja ordering Gojek food and just getting bigger and bigger and bigger. Now we can still have church.
And still order Gojek food and get bigger and bigger.
We still have church, still order Gojek food, yeah.
That is nice.
Or Grab, either one. Yeah. We don't have a preference.
Okay, so, you know, Pastor Kerry and Chris, you have been doing, like, ministry for quite some time. Like, of course, you know, there are moments, like, where there's up, there's down. Like, can you think of, like, some memorable moments, like, some wins or losses, like, throughout all this, like, when you do ministry?
Do you want this one?
I know this one is a little bit tough.
You know, I really love the question because, and I think Pastor Kerry would feel the same. We've never really viewed life as wins and losses, but as a journey. And I like the question because I think it's important for all of us to see that we have learning experiences and growth. I mean, you guys know in staff meeting, when we talk about wins, we don't even talk about losses, we talk about improvements.
Yeah, improvements.
And I think everyone should view their life like that. No one's winning and losing. I mean, we're winning, you know, but you know, like, there's no losing. It's like, wow, this was a learning experience. Most of us learn through failures, you know, and that's our greatest, when life is difficult is when you don't learn from the learning experiences. But ministry-wise, wow, I mean, two of the big ones, I guess, we've been in Indonesia, serving in Indonesia for 17 years now.
Wow.
17, wow.
We love Indonesia. We love it here. We're so thankful. I mean, even sitting here with all of you guys and the productions team, I'm just thankful because without God's calling us to this, I wouldn't have the honor and the privilege of knowing you guys and serving with you. I mean, it's huge. That's a win. It's a huge win. And then planting this church is probably what I'm proudest of. I mean, we had done ministry for years, kids ministry, Bible school ministry, working with the churches all around when we were in Java and then now in North Sumatra. But when God called us to plant the church, we had no idea how to plant a church. And then we said, God, if you told us to do it, we'll do it. And then it happened. And to witness it, I mean, it's a huge win for us. So
yeah.
What do you think?
I think just thinking about memorable moments and just kind of thinking about over all of these years of in ministry of just how amazing God is, because I mean, I can look back over every stage in the last 17 years and even before that, just how God is so faithful to walk with us, and he's been so faithful to lead us every step of the way. And you know, it's just, I don't know, like following God and being on his mission is like the greatest adventure like ever. And so it really is an honor to, I don't know, to have been able to serve him. So I think there's, yeah.
I can say, like, not only because you guys are my pastor, but I feel like, you know, ministry, like, it's kind of like a passion for you guys. And, like, you know, I think everyone could see it, like, in you guys, like, okay, this is, like, what God has called us to do. And it's kind of awesome to see that. And I think when you said, like, okay, it's a learning experience, I think, yeah, some people might feel like, okay, losses and it beat them down. Mm-hmm. And I think, like, you know, if we view it as, like, learning experience, like, I think that would be, like, a great message, like, even for other people yeah. when they listen to that.
Yeah, it's good. When you live with that perspective, you just, the whole thing is just having forward motion and forward momentum. And then you end up living a life. I don't feel like I've ever lost.
True, yeah.
Mm-hmm. We've had some horrible things happen in our life, but we've learned from it and kept moving forward. And God has that same plan and promise for everyone.
Yeah. I'm so grateful that you guys answered to God's calling, you know. 17 years in the ministry. Wow. There must
Doesn't
be like some
like
really
it.
Great stories, challenge.
When we say it, I'm like, wow, 17 years? Are we that old?
How?
My Bahasa
awesome.
Should be much better. But in my defense, we've been doing ministry in English for the last 5 years. So our Bahasa was better. 7 years ago, you should have heard our Bahasa.
But, you know, knowing what you know now, like, after doing ministry, like, 17 years, like, if you have the chance, you know, to go back and tell something to your self when you first started ministry, like, what would that be, you know?
What would you tell the younger us?
The younger us.
You guys are still young, by the way.
We're yeah. still young.
That's why I don't use the word younger.
We're really not old enough to think about those kind of questions. The only thing I could think of, and I feel blessed because we had good pastors in our life, good leaders, mm-hmm. that I feel like they gave us a good foundation where, I don't mean this can sound sombong or arrogant, but I don't feel like there's a lot different because we were trained well, not because of what we knew. Mm-hmm. But I feel like we already knew keep God first, you know, because if people go into ministry focused on anything else, you're going to be hurt and discouraged and disappointed. I mean, even if your focus is just on people, you'll end up quitting. You know, your focus is on anything else. But if your focus is on God, it doesn't matter what happens to you. You keep going because this is my calling. I do this because I love Jesus, you know. And I think that's the key for all of us beginning ministry is a focus on Jesus. I think it's very important, and Pastor Carrie and I both will tell people this, when they're called to specific ministry or specifically when we talk to people that are going into church planting, make sure you're called to do that. Because if you try to do something in your own strength, it will destroy you because it's heavy.
Yeah, and you know, just kind of thinking about that, you know, when you answer the call of God on your life, it can't just be like an emotional moment, you know, because we have ups and downs, and sometimes we have ups and we're like, I want to go, you know, like, and serve God, like, in the, you know, on the other side of the world, and that's great, and that is the call that we had, but, you know, there's that the call is so important, and then the process is important. I love that, you know, we had great pastors and mentors that we never really sought a position. Like, we were fine being number two, number three, number four, number five. Like, that was fine. It still is fine. Mm-hmm. But I believe that, you know, when we just keep God first and that call first, because, I mean, and life happens. And even, like, for me, I guess it was, like, 8 years ago, but, you know, when I had to leave my daughter in the U.S., and it was like I came face to face with that call once again of, you know, if it was just this emotional in that moment kind of, you know, I'll follow you, God, you know, kind of thing. Years later, when I'm faced with, you know, when I have to separate from my kids, and is that call still there? It was a really important moment for me. And so that's why, and that's just one of the things, but that's why it's so important to know, like, that call of God is there, and that when you feel that, like, you just keep it in your heart. You don't, you hold on to it. And so whenever good days, bad days come, it's still there.
It's why it's important. And even scripture says, if God speaks something to you, write it down. Because there will be difficult days and things that happen in your life that make you question. And being in ministry, all of us know, even being a Christian doesn't mean everything's just going to be rainbows. Yeah. Or how did we hear it recently?
Cherry blossom.
Yeah.
Cherry blossom.
Maybe that
works
more.
Oh, that's the phrase that works here.
We think rainbows when we heard that, but it doesn't mean everything's going to be cherry blossoms. You know, there's going to be difficult times, but when you know something and when you know this is the path God's put me on, you never have to see another cherry blossom. And you're going to be happy.
Yeah.
And content in that, because you found the purpose of your life. And it is, like Carrie said, it's an adventure.
Connecting, I think, to what you guys said, I think I still remember, like, a couple of years ago, I don't know whether you or Pastor Carrie that shared about this, like, you know, even, like, being a Christian, like, it's not about, like, your pastor or, like, the people who is, like, the community. Like, you have to follow Jesus first and, like, remember that, you know, Jesus is the number one, not the people. Because, you know, sometimes people can hurt you, or, like, you know, if you are very dependent on, like, your pastor or your mentor, then, you know, when they did something or, like, you don't like something, it will hurt you. So I think, like, that is kind of like a good reminder for me every time. Okay, like, if I have friends that hurt me, okay, remember that it's not Jesus who hurt me. Like, just like sometimes life happens. So I think I really like that as a reminder, even for me.
It is good. Like, your focus has to be on Jesus. Because, you know, probably all of us at this table at one time or another has been hurt by church people. And I remember a time in my life younger where I felt like, I don't like church people. And maybe that's not good to say as a pastor, but the thing is, then when I realize it's not church people, it's people.
Yeah.
It doesn't matter if you're in church or if you know people that are not in church or they're a part of this religion or that religion. People are just people, and they disappoint and they hurt and they discourage. But if your focus is on Jesus, that's how we can love all people. Because someone can say or do whatever they want. I love them anyway because I love Jesus. So,
it really
sets us free.
Yeah, it's a really good encouragement also for people who might think that they have God's calling, like, to hear your stories and how to keep God the focus instead of ministry. And that will help, like, to overcome the challenges that come, you know, with answering God's calling. So it's really good.
Even Pastor Carrie told me something recently that you read or you heard something about, you know, we're called to a relationship with Jesus and ministry flows from that.
Yeah.
Because if we feel like my calling is to this ministry, some people in ministry have had the temptation, or just when schedules get busy, all you're doing is ministry and the relationship with Jesus falls to the side.
Yeah, yeah.
But if you keep your relationship with Jesus, ministry flows.
Yeah.
That's why it doesn't matter if you're a pastor or you could be a doctor or, you know, a teacher or any kind of profession. If you're focused on a relationship with Jesus, your life is going to be ministry.
I read like recently, just like maybe 2 days ago, like this Bible plan, like about like people have like different careers and like, you know, they always think that, okay, if I doing ministry, it has to be like a pastor or being in the staff or like being a part of the church, like, you know, in the inside of the building. So like, you know, do you have any advice that like, you know, for people that are, you know, maybe they don't have time to be in the church, but, you know, they want to do ministry in their everyday life, like what would your advice would be?
Yeah, well, you know, we even teach here at IC Maidan that, you know, if you're a follower of Jesus, then you have this circle of influence, you know, and it doesn't have to be on the stage at the church, or it doesn't have to be, you know, like you're leading even a life group, but your life is ministry, you know, that we're all called, you know, to shine the light of Christ around us. So like, if you're a mom, then, you know, your ministry is your kids and your husband. Like, that's just as valid as if you're, you know, the director of all of the IC kids here at, you know, at IC Maidan. Or, you know, like if you're, you know, in business and you're at work and the people around you, they need, you know, to hear about Jesus. They need to hear about your story. And so just, you know, taking the time to look around. You know, we always say that there's, you know, like handfuls of people around each one of us that, you know, we have influence over. And we believe that if you are a follower of Jesus and he's done something for you, that you've got something to share, you know, with those around you. So, and then you can also serve in the church. That's a great place to serve.
You should serve in the church also.
Also, I'm not leaving that
not
out.
Not exclusively in the church.
Yeah.
But even what she's saying, part of that is what we've seen in these conversations. Everyone that's shared in conversations, my hope is that they're sharing these same stories at their jobs, with their families, outside. Yeah. That's ministry. And a lot of times we don't think of that, oh, I don't know how to minister. But if you're sitting at the dinner table and you're talking to your parents about how God answered your prayer, man, that's life-changing. It's powerful.
Yeah, talking to your kids every day. And, I mean, even for us, before we had the actual call to ministry, we ministered in our church for years. And, I mean, it was just any time the doors were open, any position that was available, like, we did it because we wanted to serve God, so.
That should be our tip. Anyone who feels a call to ministry should volunteer in kids ministry for 8 years. That's what we did.
That's what we did. And that's what got us here.
So if someone feels a call, and that is the thing too, if someone feels a call to ministry, I remember our pastor, if someone ever came to him and said, hey, I really want to preach on the stage, he would ask them to clean the bathroom. Because if you have a heart to serve, you're going to be okay. If you want on a stage or you want a spotlight, it's a dangerous place.
I remember when we first started our church in Hermes in the movie theater. And, you know, the first couple of months, people were coming. They were so excited. It was a new church. And they would say, hey, how can I get on stage? How can I get on the worship team? Or, hey, how can I speak? And I said, you know, because at that time we had to set up everything. So, you know, a lot of us would show up 6:30 in the morning. And I said, you know, let me see you. Show up at 6:30 in the morning, and then we can talk about you getting on the stage. Because it does, it starts there, you know, and then, but being a learner, being a servant, you know, is, and there's so much reward in that. It's not, you know, just our energy, but there's so much reward in serving God, because you can serve him all day. You know, when we're here at the church, serving him all day, doing the setup and breakdown, or doing the 5 services in a Sunday, and your body's tired, but your spirit is so full.
It's amazing how asking someone to show up to set up church at 6 a.m. will suddenly they lose the call to ministry. Maybe it wasn't God. Maybe I just had too much quickie on this night. Because you don't see them again, you know? But it's really important, because I see people all the time. They see someone on stage or now like on Instagram or YouTube, and they think, wow, I want to be that, because they want respect or they want to be seen. If people knew how hard it was to pastor, they would never ask for it. I never asked for it. We were happy in the kids department. We were happy volunteering. We never expected to do this. And I think often, if someone is really feeling a call, you just start serving wherever you're needed. When we filled out our application to come to Indonesia, we didn't put, I want to do this, I want to do that. We wrote, we'll go wherever you need us and do whatever you want. because we just want to serve Jesus. And when you have that heart, God's going to do some amazing things with your life. You'll live that adventure because it wasn't about you, it was about God.
I really like the power of like serving and just like, I think like kind of like being humble, like always like keep us grounded every time.
Yeah.
Yeah, I do like remember like back in Hermes, like everyone was so excited, you know, to just like breaking down and even setting up is really fun. Like we all like kind of work as a team and like, I think it's still how it is right now.
Yeah.
So like everything kind of, everybody kind of like helping each other. I really love that.
That was so fun.
I miss some of that.
True.
You know, if that's how they did it in Jesus's days, you know what Jesus would have been doing? He would have been pushing a cart.
Yeah. He'll be the one that lifts up the banner, like going up and down.
Yeah. So much fun. Serving together is such a privilege and such an honor.
And then we have like surprise questions. This is kind of like the questions.
My bonus questions.
Yeah.
Since you said you 17 years in Indonesia, right?
Right.
Like if you could pick one favorite place, not Medan. I know you love Medan, right? That's why you said I'm here.
Okay.
Like other than Medan, like what's your favorite place in Indonesia to like?
To live?
Uh-huh, maybe to live or like you
enjoy. I'm glad you made it clear. Medan is my number one place. And part of it is 18 or 19 years ago when we felt the call to Indonesia. We knew it was Sumatra. So we knew we were going to be here in North Sumatra. But we started out in Java because we needed to serve under a mentor. So other than Medan, my favorite place to live in Indonesia is Malang. I love it.
Malang is a really nice place, though.
It's not too hot. It's not too cold.
Yeah, I love that, though. Like, and the people are pretty friendly.
So nice, and it's just beautiful.
The bakso is amazing. It doesn't compete with the food in Medan. But if you're in Java, Malang was nice. We would eat the bakso kota complete, and like it had everything in it. I loved it.
That is really nice.
Medan is the only place we've lived, really, that we had ACs in our house. Because even in Salatiga, it was cool.
Cool air, yeah.
In Salatiga, it was so cool, it was hard for our clothes to dry. We would wash our clothes, hang them outside, and they would like what? They would get...
Dry itself.
They would get like damp. They would get like mildewed before the...
like
it's different, yeah. You put your clothes, other than the hujan in Medan, you put your clothes outside, they're dry.
Okay, like speaking of like just now living on, like, do you still have like anything in your bucket list that you would love to do, even as a family or like individually, like one of the things that you can think of?
Wow.
Bucket list.
Bucket list, yeah.
I completed your bucket list, right?
You did. That's what I'm thinking, like, what else is there?
There's nothing.
You know, it would be so awesome to go and take a trip to Israel. That would be so awesome. We've never gone there. And so that's our prayer with all of you guys. One day we all go together and take a tour there. That would be so awesome to walk in the places that Jesus walked and be able to see those places and learn about it.
There's an awesome bucket list, though. I wouldn't think that, like, that's it, but I really love it. Like,
that's good.
Yeah. What about, like, you know, we know it's been hard, like, for you guys. Like, you have plans to go back to the U.S., but, you know, it didn't work out. Like, how do you keep even yourself encouraged? Or, like, do you have a special message for, like, the people? Like, maybe they are separated with their family, they can't travel. Like, how do you keep yourself encouraged? Even, like, me, if I have to be separate family, it's, like, super tough. Like, every day, you kind of miss your family.
Yeah. It was really difficult because I was supposed to go back for Hazel's first birthday. But you know what? In life, you know, we just know that sometimes just things don't work out according to our plans. And so I know, like, as soon as everything lifts, like, I have that hope, like, I'm going to jump on that plane and go back and, you know, and visit them, my kids and my granddaughter, you know, as soon as we can. But God is just so good, and you just make the most of every day. So I couldn't go home, so I ordered the biggest, most elaborate first birthday cake possible, you know? And so we video called and sang happy birthday to her, and that was, you know, that was fun. But, you know, I think for me, a lot of it is just keep reminding myself of all the great and amazing things that God's done for me. And my kids are happy. I can video call them, see their smiles on their faces, and just knowing that God is faithful and He's good. So what am I to be sad about, you know? And I have video, FaceTime. We video call with them. We see their faces.
I think the other thing too is just how how you live your life. You know, if and like what Pastor Carey is saying, like if you live your life in a certain way of looking at, well, what happened to me, or this was a disappointment, or this was that was a disappointment. You know, we really try to live our life for God. Like, you know that verse that says, my life is not my own. I've been bought with a price. So we may have a plan how we want to go home and see our granddaughter. We want to be there for Hazel's first birthday. We miss our kids. We thought, wow, during this time, we should go be with them even, you know. But we trust God, and we don't ever feel like, oh, this didn't work out. This failed. I'm so discouraged. But we trust God. Like you were saying with the whole corona thing, we don't believe God's surprised by things. We don't believe that God fails. We don't believe if suddenly we can't go back to the U.S. for a birthday party, we believe, well, God knew that. So
there's going to be a bigger, good things happening next year.
Yeah.
There was a reason to be here.
And the greatest thing about, you know, following God is that we know we're here because we answered His call. And we know that whenever we, you know, give things up for God, like giving our family or the time up, that it doesn't go unseen.
Yeah.
And one day we're all going to be in heaven together forever, and we'll never be separated again. And so, you know, just knowing that, you know, when we give things to God, we're storing up treasures in heaven. And so, and one day we'll all be together, never separated, and it's going to be awesome.
Mm-hmm. That's one of my favorite verses. Wow, this conversation has been really good.
Yeah, I really
it's been so fun.
Yeah, it's really fun. It's very relaxing, and it doesn't seem like, you know, being in this hot seat, but it's kind of making everything very relaxed. And
it does feel like a hot seat. I feel like I'm sweating. But it went by so fast, it feels like.
Yeah, I know. PCMPK, would you mind like to pray for like the people who might need an encouragement, like, you know, maybe, you know, like they separated with their family, or even like they are going through something that they need some encouragement, like of, and maybe like for some families as well.
Yeah.
Do you mean to pray?
Yeah, that'd be awesome.
Father, I'm just so thankful to have this time just to talk with Riandi and Stella. And Lord, I trust that something that was said, there was no way to plan out the words or plan out what would be spoken. But Lord, we trust you. And even in conversations, we trust that your Holy Spirit is at work, and that you will bring out things that need to be spoken, and that you will touch hearts that are viewing today. You will touch the hearts of the people. And Lord, I pray right now that those who are discouraged or frustrated, those who are facing disappointments, Lord, those that are at home and feel alone or isolated, that feel separated from not only families, but maybe even their friends, maybe their church family. And Lord, I just pray that even more and more during this time, we would put our trust and our faith in you. And Father, I truly, truly believe that if we trust you, we never have to be disappointed again in this life. Lord, I don't have disappointments because I trust you. I don't have disappointments because I don't see things in this life that happen as a failure, but I see them as another experience with you, and a chance to learn and a chance to grow. So Father, I pray that for everyone viewing today, Lord, that you would touch their hearts and change their perspective. Lord, that they would no longer be discouraged or disappointed, but they would be encouraged, that they would trust that every situation is in your hands, because their life is in your hands, because you love them, because they're your children. And Lord, you are going to work out the best for them. All we're asked to do is trust you. All we're asked to do is follow you. Lord, I thank you that you make it so simple for us. You make it so simple. Don't worry, don't be afraid. Trust me. So Father, that's what we want to do. And Lord, I pray for those that are watching today that don't know you yet. Lord, that today would be that chance that maybe something that was spoken today by me or Pastor Carey or Stella or Riandi, something that was spoken that touched their heart, and today they would make that decision to say, Jesus, I want to trust you with my life. I want to put my life in your hands. I want to follow you. I don't want to continue to be rocked around by the waves and the wind of this world, but I want to be steady. And Lord, I know that they will be steady if they follow you and focus on you. This entire life doesn't have to be a roller coaster, but it can be steady. It can be peace. We can have joy. All of those things just by trusting you. So Lord, that's what I pray for those viewing today. Lord, I pray your blessings on Riandi and Stella and their families. I pray your blessing on the productions team that's here today, Lord, and on our kids and family, and our little granddaughter at home, Lord, I just ask that you would watch over them and bless them. Lord, we don't have to worry about being there with them because we know that you are there with them. And we're thankful for that. And we pray all of this in the mighty, powerful name of Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior. Amen.
Amen.
Thank you guys.
Thanks
Thank
so
you.
Much. You know, I do right now feel a relief.
After closing.
It's so much fun. Thanks, guys. Mm-hmm.